American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town, like a cancer that's silently spreading. There's an unspoken fear, we're on our way down. We must take America back.
It's right, we must take America back. That's why we do this, that's why we're here broadcasting from my home studio in downtown Bellefonte, Pennsylvania. Worldwide as National Intel Report on Republic Broadcasting Network and Liberty Lighthouse on Mojo 50 Radio, Patriot Nation Radio Network, and any place else you hear or see the show. That's right, this is a radio show, but you can also watch the video if you want to. I don't know. Tonight we have 2 hours of common sense and constitutional discussion with me, your host, Peter Serafine, and the lovely and talented Dr. Jen Vandewater, the people's pharmacist, is going to be joining us right here off the top. Remember, this is a live call-in show, so feel free to call in with your questions, comments, concerns, criticisms to 512-248-8252. And if you don't want to have your voice on the air, but you still have a comment you'd like to make, you can text me at 64 My Rights. That's 646-974-4487. Good evening, Dr. Vandewater. Welcome to the show.
Good evening, Peter. How's it going?
Super fantabulous. So we spoke a little bit yesterday. I told you that I've been a little down in the dumps, a little blah, a little, well, depressed. Felt like a worthless piece of crap for a couple of days. And you say that it's becoming more common that that happens.
Yes. Yeah. Well, it was funny that you had mentioned to me that you were feeling that way. And I had told you that someone I know on Facebook had actually been posting messages that were not her usual self. And I quickly realized that something was going on with her. So I reached out to her right away, and she was feeling a little depressed. And then even myself, I had been going through, you know, just feeling this heaviness, this weight, and I'm a person who's pretty much can bounce back from things and usually can see the bright side and stay positive and remain hopeful. And even I was feeling a bit, I'll put it, under attack, you know, like something just didn't seem right. And so when you had mentioned it, I said, you know, I'm going to reach out to another colleague of mine, another doctor I know. And I reached out to her, and she said, you know what? She said, yep, that you are not the only one. The people you know are not the only one. She herself was suffering some, you know, anxiety and depression as well, and knows of other people who are usually pretty upbeat and positive going through the same. So it was definitely, for me, kind of like, okay, well, then what's going on? And that's when I called you, because I was like, I've got to now talk to Peter, because this is more than just, you know, a coincidence or people feeling certain things. It had me thinking about some rabbit holes and some conspiracies I had been down to say, I wonder if there's more to this than we're aware of.
Well, over in the YouTube, I think, chat room, somebody watching the YouTube video says, it's that time of year. So there is that. There's the seasonal affective disorder, people that start to get depressed because there's not enough sunlight. And then there's people like me. I tend to get depressed around the holidays because, quite frankly, my kids hate me. So, you know, it is that. But this one was different. Like, for one, it hit me instantly. I can pinpoint the exact moment when all of a sudden I was terribly depressed. And like I told you on the phone yesterday, I have a fabulous life. I am in the best financial situation I have ever been in. I have a beautiful woman at home that loves me. We have a big, beautiful house together. We've got cats and a dog. I've got a wonderful life, and I can tick tock. You know, if I do the pros and cons list, the pros list is way longer than the cons list. And I can usually rationalize away whenever I do feel blue, because we all have that, you know, occasionally. We just don't feel up to snuff. And you know, you stop, you take an inventory, and that's usually enough to make it go away for me. But it wasn't working. And I didn't tell you this yet, but I finally broke down and I resorted to a pharmaceutical yesterday. One dose of one pharmaceutical and I'm fixed. I feel much better today. That and, you know, less wine.
Yeah, that's what I should have had tonight. I've got water. I should have had some wine. I won a bottle at an event recently, so I should have opened it. but you know, I do agree that it's a time of year. We are changing seasons. We are losing sunlight. But like you said, there's the typical, like, I definitely get bummed when it's fall because I know it's the end of my summer season and I love my summer season. I love long days. I love warmer temperatures. I do not like what I know is coming, and it's a bad word. yep, it starts with an S and ends with a W. So I definitely will say that I can understand that thinking is the time of year. But what had me thinking when I had talked to you and talked to my colleague and the other girl that had encountered the same, my mind, like I said, went down some of those rabbit holes, and those rabbit holes relate to frequencies. So I'm sure a lot of your audience is well aware that music was changed from a good frequency. And this is probably, I want to say the 40s, 50s, or 60s. I can't remember the exact year, but I remember researching this, and everyone now tunes their instruments to 440. Now, I'm not a musician. There's something about one of the, like, A chord or the A, whatever, and you tune that to 440 and everything falls in line. So 440, though, is not of the, I'm sure, Tesla, the 369, 369 is all healing, all the 369. You take 440, add up those numbers, doesn't add up to a 3, a 6, or a 9, and doesn't divide out. 440 adds up to 8. Not that 8's a bad number, but there's something in with frequencies. Now, again, I'm not an expert in this. I've just listened to some stuff on this and thought, well, this could be a valid point, because there are times I put certain music on and it's like, oh gosh, get it off. It sounds awful. I can't listen to this. And there are other times other music just sounds very soothing and very calming and I enjoy listening to it. But tuning instruments now to a frequency that is not healing makes you wonder, you know, what's going on there. And I know they were changing it to 432, or changing it from 432 and even 444, which are better frequencies. And 432 is actually nature. It's actually the sound of birds and the sound of crickets and, you know, being outside, peepers, you know, listening to outside nature. And that's very healing and very therapeutic. But to think that maybe something has occurred that we cannot audibly hear, but it's affecting how we feel and sense things around us. Is it enhancing a negative emotion, a negative feeling inside of us, being that the frequency changed? I don't know. Probably we had those emergency alert system tests that took place. Very possible.
Ooh, I didn't
right? think of that one. That, and there were, I heard from a girl yesterday, there were two. There was one on October 4th and one on October 11th. So it's like, well, did that cause something? I don't know. These are just questions that I'm having. And like I said to you yesterday, I love just posing the questions. I don't have answers, but when I start seeing common, you know, things happening, there's a common denominator. I'm like, okay, what's going on here? What's taking place that makes me start to dive a little deeper into the questions? Doesn't mean I get the answers, but it just makes me think something else is going on here, something bigger. And I'm sorry for you, because I know when I talked to you yesterday, you did not want to resort to the pharmaceutical. You're like, I really don't want to do this. I really don't want to take that. You said, I know it's there, but that just shows you the pressure that we're under and what and who is causing that, because I just can't attribute it to it's a normal thing. There's something else going on, I feel. And in a spiritual world that's around us, right? We cannot see it with our eyes, but we can sense it. You notice it. It's the same feeling if you meet someone. You right away know whether you like that person or you don't. And you're like, there's an energy. There's something that's being exchanged. So what's happening in the spiritual world around us that's causing us to react with these emotions and, you know, anxiety and depression to a higher level that we maybe have not encountered before?
Yeah, I definitely don't know what it is, but it was different this time than it usually is. It came on quite suddenly. And, it just felt different. I don't know how else to say it, but happy to say that I'm through it for now. I feel a lot better, but there is something different. And being a live call-in show, there's got to be somebody out there listening who understands the whole frequency resonation. That's a word I have a problem with, apparently. I've never realized that. Frequency resonance. If you want to call in and educate us, we'd appreciate it. 512-248-8252. I know there's another host here on Republic Broadcasting Network during the week who has an energy cleaner product that he manufactures and sells. And it is an electro, basically envelops you or your plants or whatever you use it on in an electromagnetic field, a positive electromagnetic field. So I think the whole energy, the vibe, I mean, it's definitely real. I'm not a touchy-feely, you know, crystals fix the world kind of person. I'm just not. But you're absolutely right in that you can tell pretty quickly whether or not you like someone. And you get that instinctive feeling about them. So there has to be something to it. There's no other explanation.
Yeah. And it's even in like a situation, like, you know, not to walk into something sometimes, or you can feel and sense things around situations or at events. And you're like, ooh, I'm going to stay away from over there. Well, why? What are you perceiving? You know, what is it that you're getting at? And, you know, with the battle that's taken place today, and it is a spiritual battle, you know, everything we're fighting right now, things that are being revealed, as more truths are coming out, you know, there's something taking place in the spiritual that we just cannot see, and maybe we're sensing it. And I do believe strongly, and it is biblical, that our prayers, when we, you know, are coming to God and saying, you know, there's stuff going on, I'm bringing this to you, we then send up through the spiritual world the energy to our warrior angels to fight in that demonic realm, to fight and say, we've got it. Our people are cheering for us almost. You know, we're going to go and we're going to go out there and do that. Well, there's been a lot of chaos. There's been a lot of hurt. There's been a lot of tragedy, and it's ramping up. I mean, as those, you know what, kind of rolled on out, there's been a lot of negative. And is that giving power to something on the darker side in the spiritual realm? And then we're feeling that sense of it. And maybe it's also a wake-up call to us to start praying again and lifting up, you know, our loved ones, lifting up our nation, lifting up the world. I mean, I just feel like there's something more to it that I can't even really articulate and get it out because it's so spiritual. I can't find the right words to say it, but hopefully it's making some sense.
I do think that there's something out there, and anything that's a call for more prayer is a good thing. I'm not a terribly religious person. I rarely pray myself, but even somebody who, like me, look at any of the research, you know, prayer is helpful. If nothing else, it is helpful to the person saying the prayer. Like, even if they don't really even have a belief in a higher power or you know, God Almighty or however, whatever, just the act of prayer is good for you as a person. So, yeah, I don't know why you would deny that. I don't think you can deny that regardless of your personal well-being or situation. But I would like to take just a second to talk about one of my favorite sponsors, and that's Right to Bear Insurance. We've seen the news, saw some ugly stuff going on the last couple of days involving guns. If you are a gun owner, a lawful gun owner, you carry your firearm either way, whether you carry it or don't. You need Right to Bear Insurance. Everybody who owns a firearm should have carry insurance, and Right to Bear is the most affordable and, in my opinion, best carry insurance on the market. I was a member of Right to Bear before they became a sponsor. I believe in their product, and I would be telling you about it even if I didn't make a dollar when you click the link. Go to protectwithbear.com and use code Lighthouse to save 10% off of your already most affordable carry insurance on the market. Starting at $11 a month, the most affordable carry insurance on the market, according to Pew Pew Tactical and me in the Liberty Lighthouse. Go to protectwithbear.com. Use code Lighthouse. That was kind of poignant. I didn't decide. I just looked at the list and clicked one. And as soon as I clicked it and Right to Bear popped up on the screen, I was like, oh, yeah, that's kind of timely, given what just went on in Maine.
Yes. Well, actually, we've had stuff here, too. No, we've had the same thing. And again, it's weird because I live in a very rural area, and in less than a month, we've had two active shooters within not so many miles from our house, where they have been, the police showed up with arrest warrants, and the suspect decided to open fire. And so there's definitely been, you know, like you say, yeah, a lot going on.
Debbie Treadway over in the YouTube chat room. Yes, we need to be praying. We need morality back is what we need. It isn't, it's the morality of the people. I mean, no, you have to be mentally ill to think that going into a school or a bowling alley or a bar or a restaurant and just indiscriminately shooting people is in any way helpful. So it's definitely mental illness.
It is. And to your point, Peter, too, I love it when you say you're not religious, because I'm not either. And I I don't follow religion, you know, to quote unquote. I just follow God and, you know, source, people say he's everything, you know, and I can have prayer just sitting on a bench I have up in my woods behind my house overlooking the mountains that are out in the distance. And I can connect with him and have this sense of strength, the sense of courage when I do that. I don't probably do it as much as I probably should, because that is my church. You know, it's where I connect and have that communion with who created everything, he who created all, and ask and seek for guidance in every situation. And praying doesn't mean you have to just sit there and bow your head, close your eyes. Prayer could be any kind of conversation you're having, trying to make the best decision for whatever it is in your life. So it's not like it's a devoted time to just say, oh, I'm going to sit and pray at this moment. It could be in anything, in any way. And so you probably don't even realize, Peter, you're praying more often than you know.
Mostly at the gun range.
Yeah.
So you have another doctor friend who acknowledges this uptick in the amount of depression, and it's more than just the seasonal uptick in depression. So
yes,
we've got the economic problems of the world today. Fortunately, I was lucky enough to create my own little bubble from that for now. So I'm not terribly affected by that. Again, this was part of my list of why am I depressed, you know, and I can't figure it out. But to the average person out there, I mean, was it 66% of American adults are on pharmaceuticals? A whole lot of those are on antidepressants and anti-anxiety meds. And then we have, you know, war in Ukraine, the war in Israel, the economic disaster that we've got going on now, where a loaf of bread has gone up almost 100% in the last 3 years. I just bought a loaf of bread the other day from this, to be honest, I like the cheap honey wheat bread from Walmart. And it used to be 86 cents a loaf.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's like $1.36. That's pretty big jump. A lot of people are going to feel that. We've got defaults on credit cards going through the roof, repossessions on cars are going through the roof. All of these terrible economic indicators, that still doesn't really explain the difference in this wave of depression that we have going on now. You had one, I don't know how to say this politely. You had one question that I know a lot of people on Republic Broadcasting Network, and maybe some of them on Mojo 50 Radio, will even raise an eyebrow to. And that was the idea of CERN. And
yes,
whatever it is that they're doing over there.
I certainly did. Again, I'm a conspiracy analyst. I'm not theorizing. I'm analyzing things that are factual that they've presented. And if any of your viewers and listeners have paid attention, there have been some funky, out of sort things that take place over there. And if I'm correct, they're trying to create the God particle, and that's not some sci-fi movie. They've actually said that's what they're trying to create. And then they have these ceremonies at the entrance, and they're not normal. Like, it's like they've got some weird funkiness that's not very, very dark, actually. And so, yeah, I've questioned that because I know, and I don't know if you've even come across this. We didn't talk about this the other day, but my sister is always messaging me these Mandela effects. Have you heard of those, Peter?
Yeah. The Mandela effects are kind of fun.
Yeah. She's always sending me something. She's like, hey, how did you see this? Or did you remember that? And we go back and forth. And so we've had conversations of like, where is that coming from? And she goes, well, it's CERN. They're making people jump into different timelines. And it's like, my head blows. I'm like, wait, what, where are we? And how does that even happen? And how is it my memory of something is different from others when I can see it in my head and I saw it. So it's not like I'm making it up. And so, you know, it caused me to pause and say, what is going on? You know, are they trying to, have they turned on another, whatever their things are, you know, to make that God particle? Are they doing something there again? And then it's causing this effect on people like us. Is it a frequency that they're testing on certain people with certain genetics? I mean, it has me questioning. And the people that my colleague knows, these are people that live down south. And they're in good weather all the time. You know, they're actually getting a nice warm spell down there. They're not even going cold. They got plenty of sunshine. And they're in the medical profession, and they have strong faith, and they're aware, very aware that they're feeling the sense of things that they're feeling. So they're aware of it too. They're like, oh my gosh, this is not my normal. Why am I like this? So it's not like it's just like, oh, woe is me. They're actually acknowledging like some things I'm not feeling like myself, and they don't like it. They're aware of it. And normally, like I said, for me, I can usually bounce myself back out of it. And I think I did mention this to you the other day. My colleague told me that she was talking to a woman who studies frequencies. And she said, what do you think is the highest frequency? I said, I thought love. I would think love would be the thing that gives out the highest frequency. When you give love, it raises everybody around you. It's all good. She says, actually, it's authenticity. So it's kind of funny that what we're feeling through this anxiety and depression and not ourselves, we're being removed from our authentic self, because that's what those people that she spoke to said, I don't feel like me. And I said, that's funny, because I said the same thing. I'm like, man, I don't feel like myself, but I'm pushing through it. I'm making myself do things because I don't like that state I'm in. And is it something that's happening to me? Is it not me and myself? You know, so I don't know, just posing, I'd love to hear some of your audience, you know, definitely chime in on this, because I'm not an expert. I'm just posing questions and trying to see if there's any validity to what I'm, you know, trying to piece together here.
Well, you heard the doctor. She's posing questions to you, the beloved listeners. So it's almost break time. So call in during the commercial break. We'll get you on air afterwards. 512-248-8252. What could possibly be causing this increase of depression that just feels different for the people suffering from it?
trusted long-term storable food company, we have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from Simply Clean Foods, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on Long-Term Food Storage in the rotating sponsors banners to support RBN.
Simply Clean Foods. Do it today.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org, smash that donate button like Russian peacekeepers smashing through the Azov neo-Nazi terrorists in the Donbass.
I don't think you can explain politics without looking at Jewish power any more than you can explain physics without dealing with gravity.
9/11 was a jointly conducted covert operation that involved multiple states, the Saudis, the Israelis, and what you could call the deep state in the United States.
With anti-Semitic remarks.
yeah, you're jiggling juice, we used to say, the dancing Israelis.
So even the Republicans now are compromising, and they're pushing issues that are destructive to the white race.
They would always say, like, are we just going to talk about this stuff on the radio? Like, what are we going to do about it?
Either we force the democracy to work by actually getting the ballot access, getting the candidates, getting in office, getting our message out there to the people, or we expose just how undemocratic it is.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show, Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
Hey there, are you going to wait till the cows come home to get your new Ease-Off drop-in lift?
What in the world is an Ease-Off drop-in lift?
Our Ease-Off is a new tool to increase production for your meat processing company that will get that whole hog or half a beef on or off your rail with our remote control.
That sounds great, but can I afford it?
Sure, and the Ease-Off installs fast. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue, speed up your line, and increase profits.
Okay, I'm convinced. Where can I get my Ease-Off?
Go to easeoff.com. That's EAZEOFF.com. And hurry, because we're offering free shipping for a limited time. Easeoff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
Ease-Off, LLC, 417-932-6419.
Hey, welcome back. I'm Peter Sarafine. Please remember to support this free speech platform, whatever platform you're watching or listening from. Support them. Buy their merchandise. Use their promo codes. Share their content. Tell your friends, your family, your loved ones where you're watching or listening to this show and any other show on any of these networks that you like. They all need your help. We don't get the help of the algorithms. We've got to build everything ourselves. So we're speaking with Dr. Jen Vandewater, the people's pharmacist. And so we don't get cut off again, why don't you go ahead and tell everybody how they can find you and what they can do to help you and how you can help them?
Well, I appreciate that. Well, I call myself the people's pharmacist because I answer to the people and not to big pharma. So I was aware through my years of practicing pharmacy of the agenda, and I didn't like it. So actually, I am set apart. I have a ministry called The People's Pharmacist, and you can find that at thepeoplespharmacist.com, where if you need a consult with me with regards to mind, body, spirit alignment, questions on your pharmaceuticals, questions on nutraceuticals, you can definitely reach out to me. And also, I have a lot of social media channels. So I post on Twitter now, Instagram, Telegram, and they all are different names. So it's going to be fun. So Twitter is at Dr. J. Vandewater. Instagram is Dr. Jen, the People's Pharmacist. And Telegram is at Dr. Vandewater. So those are my channels. You can follow me. Each one has a different touch of me because Twitter, you can be a little more controversial, so I get a little more edgy. Telegram is more my sweet spot where I can kind of just be the real me and just be more soft and not so controversial and just share about my chickens and my dog and my hiking and some health tips. And Instagram is a little mix of both. So have fun checking them all out. And, you know, I appreciate the support.
Well, the only one of those that I follow is Twitter because I gave up on Telegram. I tried it. I couldn't make a go of it. It was frustrating and confusing to me. So I gave up on Telegram. And Instagram kicked me off a long time ago, so I had never went back. Did you happen to see the New York Times article? I can't remember if it was today or yesterday. It was on like page 14 or something like that, where the New York Times was talking about a study of COVID vaccines in minors.
Wow.
The New York Times pointed out in this study that, I'm probably going to get the ages wrong, but let's say 6 to 18 or something like that, that, or maybe it was 12 to 18, whatever. Anyway, the older kids were, they're having strange heart problems, or at least some of the people.
Oh, surprise.
And then the younger ones, the like infant size children, they're having seizures and convulsions, or at least some of the people that are getting the vaccines are having seizures and convulsions. Now, I remember, I don't know, 2 years ago, if anybody had said those things, they would have been mocked and canceled and deleted and kicked off of their platforms. Yep. But now it's in the New York Times. And you know darn well the New York Times isn't publishing that stuff because they're proud of it. If they were proud of it, they would have put it on the first page. But no, they put it on page like 14 or 17 or something like that. This is one of those, oh, I guess we have to report on this now moments.
Mm-hmm. And so, I kind of wonder too, are they throwing like Pfizer under the bus and like trying to?
No, because they.
No, it wasn't. Okay, that's good.
Talk about Pfizer. They talked about Pfizer specifically, but they also mentioned Moderna in their article. Of course, I didn't go research and actually pull up the study itself to see what was done. But all these studies are starting to come out to say that, hey, untested vaccines sometimes have side effects.
Oh.
Who knew, right?
Right. Gee. Yeah, and I think it's a covering too. Like as you know, as things start to come to light, and people are questioning, and people are seeing things happen to their children, and providers out there that are mainstream are not addressing these issues that are happening in the young, and saying it's vaccine related. They're just like, oh, this was going to happen anyway. Look, no, that's not. There's something that triggers an event, and I've said this before, and it's so true. Our bodies actually drive to wellness. Our bodies maintain a homeostasis and a balance on their own. You start adding things to your body, it throws off that balance and you start to have these conditions. You start to have issues. You start to have side effects, you know, of the pharmaceuticals, of injections, of food you put in your body. You have to really protect your temple. There's a reason. And so that's what is starting to happen. And I believe these articles and stuff coming out is just to cover themselves. Well, actually, we did say it. We did put that. So maybe that's what they're doing. Or is it also for future generations to say, oh, now we've got the future. Like they say, oh no, they did tell you guys. They did put it out there. Like I wonder. Like, right? What are they manipulating here, really? Is it us or is it future generations to look back and say, no, that article was there, so they did tell people.
Yeah. They told us, you know, 2 years after the fact. So let's think about this for a minute. Let's say that, you know, you're a parent of a college-age kid, graduated high school, going off to college, going to a college that has mandated the vaccine. And you're unfortunate enough to have one of the children who is affected by this vaccine, and you, your kid gets a heart condition, who do you sue?
Can't sue anyone.
The pharmaceutical company was given immunity.
Correct.
So can you sue the school because they mandated it?
That would be great.
Sue the Department of Education who put the suggestion forward.
Mm-hmm.
Sue the CDC. They're the one that comes up with the recommended vaccine list. Who do you sue?
You have a
teenage child who is going to have a heart problem theoretically for life, because the heart is one thing that doesn't heal itself.
Right.
So now you've got to use an unpopular word, you have a disabled child, a disabled young adult in your family, and nobody you can sue because your tyrannical government gave a pharmaceutical company immunity and allowed them to make tens of trillions of dollars.
And the pharmaceutical company loves lifelong patients, because now you have to stay on pharmaceuticals to maintain, again, that homeostasis and that balance that's now been disrupted. And I actually know many, many people through the years that I've spoken to who had children that went to college. A lot of these parents had told their children, please don't do this. The child went and did it anyway. And they're very unhealthy. Now, they've gone to some naturopathic providers and said, hey, can you help, you know, this? And there are some detox protocols that, you know, these kids are trying, but it's a really long, long healing journey. And a lot of these kids are at the prime of their life where they want to be having fun, and they're not completely aware of things. And so they give up and don't want to keep fighting. And it's really sad what we're seeing.
I think that statement right there sums up the problem with America. We have
beautiful
given up and stopped fighting.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, going to the phones, we've got Sarah in Oregon on line one. Welcome to the show, Sarah.
Hi.
Hi, Sarah.
Hi, please share this show out. Thank you. Goodbye.
Thank you, Sarah. Sarah, the cheerleader of the show, always reminding people to share it out, because that's the only way we grow. Over in the chat rooms, we got eat healthy and you'll usually feel healthy. And that is very, very true. And also sue the governor who mandated the vaccine.
Yes.
I think it might have to come to that. It might have to be not only, like, for using my earlier example, not only are you going to have to sue the college, but you're going to have to, like, sue the president of the college individually in order for anything to change.
But just like they make examples out of us, right? Just like they try to do to us. We need to turn it around and do that to them. Finding the attorney, this is the thing, finding someone who will take on that task is where the challenge lies, because a lot of these attorneys do not want to go up against, especially when it's related to vaccine injury, because of the immunity and becoming a target, starting the ball rolling. If we get the ball to start rolling, other people can jump on and, you know, make an example and maybe remove some of these, you know, terrible governors in states that are trying to break apart, you know, what our country is supposed to be.
Well, I mean, the effectiveness, and for those of you listening on the radio, I'm using the fingery air quote things as I say that, the effectiveness of the vaccine, you know, it was, well, it's 98% effective, and you know, you should be fine. It's 90% effective, and there's nothing wrong with a vaccine that's 80% effective, and you know, and then it gets down to where it's, you know, 30% effective to whatever variant and this and that. Everything that they have told us about the so-called vaccine has turned out to be wrong. Whether it was a bold-faced lie or whether they were just wrong, well, that's up for debate. Maybe they really thought that this was the end-all be-all and it was going to fix everything and it was perfectly safe, and in which case they're morons, because the FDA recalls revokes the authorization of about half of the medicines that they allow on the market within the first 5 or 10 years. Mm-hmm. So for them to run out and say, everybody needs to take this jab. No. I don't want to take anything. I don't like taking anything more than aspirin. Because an aspirin, I know, has been, you know, it's made from tree bark, and it's been around for hundreds of years.
Right.
So.
That's so true. Yeah. No, and it's, I believe this wasn't just starting with COVID. Being in the, you know, pharmacy and seeing what I saw, I never was someone that took a flu shot, but I watched other people. And it's funny how when they took the flu shot, they got sick. So I always was like, well, why am I going to take it? You took it 3 years in a row and you got sick every time. So guess what? I'm not taking this. Like, I just was kind of calling it as it was. And so was there something they were piloting before COVID and trying on other injections and seeing how it happened? These are just, again, I like to pose questions because I see things with my eyes and it makes me question something else is going on here.
Are you postulating that maybe the United States federal government may have theoretically been running an unauthorized medical experiment on the whole of the population of the United States? I find that hard to believe. It's not like they've ever done anything like that before.
Oh, no, Tuskegee. Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah.
These syphilis experiments. Yeah, that was 600 black men that they just let die even though they had a cure.
Yeah.
Operation Sea Spray and the San Francisco biological experiments where they exposed 750,000 people to, you know, random bacteria without anybody knowing. No, our government, they learned their lesson in the 1950s.
They now look out for us.
That's right.
And our well-being.
No. That's right. You can trust Dr. Anthony Fauci and everybody in the federal government to always be looking out for your well-being.
Mm-hmm.
And if you believe that, I have a book coming out soon called Trust Shattered. And we're going to chronicle all of those things and more, all the reasons why you should never believe your government for anything. Going back to the chat room over in YouTube, we got, since people were forced to take the jab to keep their job, they should be able to sue their employer. I would agree with that.
Correct.
And then we have, it was an experimental vaccine. Well, that's not even up for debate. It was experimental by definition. In order to have an emergency use authorization of any medication, it has to be experimental. That's the definition of an EUA, emergency use authorization.
We can change that line, and I'm sure Deb would agree with this. It was the bioweapon.
That's
what it was. It was made to do what it's doing. I don't believe they were just oops and said, oh, whoops, that happened. I believe that everything that they wanted to do was intentional. And now those of us who did not take the injection are exposed to people that have, and sadly, those people are shedding things onto us. And we are now susceptible. We can clear it out, but people are having problems because they're exposed to that.
I don't know what you're doing in your private life, but nobody's shedding nothing onto me.
Well, I'm avoiding it too, just like you. But I have family members suffering, and they're not injected, and they're really going through a lot because they work around people that run in and get every booster every few months because they believe that it's going to help them. And then, I don't know, I say, I visualize it like Linus from Peanuts, you know, from Charlie Brown, like walking around with that smog around him, like that's what's happening. And it's wrong. It's wrong that they did that. So yeah, I'm sure Deb would agree to say that that's what it is.
We got Donald over here reminded me of another one, the smallpox infested blankets.
Mm-hmm.
That was a great example as well. Curtis reminded us that, you know, I'm from the government and I'm here to help. How do I say that? The 7 scariest words in the English language or something like that?
Yep.
And Deb, yes, she agrees that we were the test monkeys.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's sad that we have this history in this country. where you can chronicle back. Let's pretend for a moment that the human biological experiments funded by our federal government started with the Tuskegee syphilis study. Let's pretend that that was the very first one. It was started in 1932. So our government has almost 100 years of experience in experimenting on we the people in different ways, mm-hmm. without informed consent, without, for whatever. They experimented on soldiers and sailors for chemical weapons. They experimented on the entire city, the population of San Francisco for chemical weapons. The MK Ultra project, where they, mind control with pharmaceuticals and illicit drugs. And then, Project 112, where they were stealing body parts for autopsy purposes without family consent. Our government has been violating the protect our life part of their oath since at least 1932. And keep in mind, the Nuremberg Code became the law of the land in 1948. It says you can't do these things. You have to have informed consent. The person being involved has to be aware of the risks and aware of the possible upsides and downsides, and all of the other 10 points of the Nuremberg Code. And our government ignores it constantly.
They get away, and they continue to get away with it.
Yeah.
That's the worst part. It wasn't like, ooh, we got caught in 1932, or ooh, we got caught even with Fauci in the 70s with AIDS. I mean, they continue to do harm. They continue to hurt people and experiment and sadly pull away. They pull away at all the things that are healthy and beneficial. I mean, 3D printed meat. I mean, come on. I mean, it's like, what? And then they're telling you, don't eat eggs, don't eat butter, don't drink milk, raw milk. You're going to have that pasteurized. Let's take all the good stuff out of it and give your body stuff that's not going to help it. Let's tell you not to eat meat and have, no salt. When if you realize when you sweat, you're sweating out salt. So you have salt and you need salt to have electricity running through your body so your cells can work and everything can do its thing. So yeah, every step of the way, from the smallest thing to the largest thing, the government has been hurting and harming people.
Mm-hmm. And they've been caught over and over again. And the unfortunate part about it is they don't usually get caught until 20 years later. Going back to the Tuskegee syphilis study, started in 1932. They weren't caught and or exposed until 1972. That went on for 40 years. But MK Ultra, Project Sunshine, Project 112, Operation Sea Spray, the San Francisco Biological, most of those weren't caught until 20 years after the fact. And I heard somebody from outside the United States said, a strange American phenomena is that every 20 years or so, the federal government releases documents that say, yep, you were right. We actually did that thing. And nothing ever changes.
They actually say it. You're right. They actually say it and nothing changes. There's protections around them that are just shocking. They're going after people for spanking their kids, for goodness sakes. And the things they do are criminal, Right. So,
You can't spank your child, but bring it over here so we can give it its 36th vaccine before it starts kindergarten.
Yeah, exactly. Backwards. Absolutely backwards.
It's getting a little crazy.
Mm-hmm.
So you're a pharma person. Let me rephrase that, because that just, you're not a pharma person. You're a pharmacological expert. How's that?
Okay.
All right. Because I don't want to associate you with the business.
Thank you.
What on God's green earth? Let's talk about the FDA approval process for a minute. I own Peter's Drug Emporium. and I make medications. And I've got this fabulous new drug that I want to put on the market. And I take it to the FDA and say, hey, I want to sell this. And they, well, where are your studies? Here are all my studies. And then they go, stamp approved. Does the FDA ever do any of their own studies? Or are they relying on the company itself to put forth the studies? Because I'm telling you, if I've got a drug that I think can make $10 or $20 billion on the open market, I'm not necessarily going to be trusting that the study the company made was ethical. Like, oh wait, oh, you've got a rash since you started taking my new drug? Well, you should probably drop out of the study then.
That's exactly what happens. The data is changed based on the funding, based on the drug. Everything has changed to make it look safe and effective. Now, here's something. People are on more than one pharmaceutical. And talking with one of my colleagues the other day, we had a good conversation about this. There are no studies on taking pharmaceuticals together. But doctors are out there prescribing multiple pharmaceuticals together. And we don't know. And these are chemicals that are coming into the body to alter the state of the body, supposedly to give it a relief. I'm not going to say it's going to be an end-all be-all, because it's not, because you have to come back next month for a refill, and then the month after that, and then go see the doctor and get an increase in dose, because your body's become, you know, tolerant of that dose, and it just keeps going and going and going, and then you got to add more meds to combat the side effects, and so on. So, yeah, the FDA will approve things if it fits into their scope, what they want it to be. And I know many people who have come up with many great ideas and were fighting with the FDA, but because it was too good, they just will not. They'll say, well, we need to know that we need this or we need that. And these people are trying. And I just look at them and think, why? They're never going to let you into their club. You are too good. You're too nice. You're trying to help people. They don't want to help you. They want to give you a Band-Aid over a gushing wound so that you keep coming back to replace that Band-Aid. You're never going to be good. You're never going to be taken care of. So it's the pattern.
Donald in YouTube says, doesn't the physician's desk reference cover pharmaceutical interactions, I believe is what he's talking about.
And who funded putting that together? This is everything that's been said for doctors, medical doctors, and pharmacists to look to for resource and guidance is all goes way back to the Rockefeller Institute of Medicine when they came in and got rid of holistic medication and all of the stuff that was actually helping people, curing people, keeping people healthy. And Big Pharma showed up with the Rockefellers, and these are petroleum-based synthetic medications that mimic what is out there in nature, but nature can't be patented. So how do you make money? You got to change the molecule structure just enough to patent it. But when you change things, the body reacts to it in a way, and you end up with more problems than you do the fix.
Yeah, and I mean, that's even evident in the commercials. You watch the TV commercial for it, and there's 14 side effects for, you know, this drug that's supposed to treat your runny nose.
Yeah, it's gotten so bad. And I remember when I haven't practiced pharmacy since 2020. So it's been a while since I've actually been behind the pharmacy counter. But what used to disturb me was seeing people on just handfuls of medications. And I'm like, how? And then, you know, I look at the amount in my hand and I look at the individual. They did not look healthy. And I would just have this like fuzz out moment and be like, wait, in college, they told us quality of life came from this. And I'm holding these meds in my head, but I'm like, but I look at them and they didn't look like they were having quality. They looked like they were just surviving. Their color looked grayer than other people. Their eyes were not fully open and alert. Some of them couldn't even walk right. They had their head down and just barely making it through. And I'm like, but if these are supposed to lift you up and be the end all be all, why am I not seeing that in the patients? And the worst part of it was, as my years practicing as a pharmacist, I started to see it go to younger and younger and younger people. And these children were now being, you know, taken over by pharmaceuticals at such a young age and high doses, I have no idea how they would be as an adult. Like, how do you even function? How does your body come back from that? Because you're starting it so young while your body's still developing and you're now giving it chemicals. So it was a hard thing to see. And I was always trying to whisper to people's ears and tell them some truths and try to say, you don't need this. You know, let's talk this out. Let's talk to your provider. Because I just didn't like what I was seeing. I wasn't seeing healthy. I was seeing very unhealthy population.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like we said earlier in the show, 66% of American adults are on medications and like daily on daily medications, and most of them on multiple medications. Can't be good. Mm-mm. But we have quite the chicken or the egg situation. Music this time.
Music, yeah.
We're getting the break. Hey, it's break time. Dr. Jen, can you stick around for at least one more?
I can.
Thank you very much. We'll be back on the other side of this 3-minute commercial break with Dr. Jen Vandewater, the People's Pharmacist.
What if Extendivite really works, but you find that hard to believe and you spend precious time looking for someone to say, just try it? I have my help today because of Extendivite, and if I did not take a leap of faith and try it, well, I would be on disability today. Take one bottle of Extendivite as suggested for 60 days to find out for yourself. No need to stop any other meds you may be on. You know by now that they are not working for you. Before the 60 days are up, I know that you will feel Extendivite working for you and will want to take another bottle. Life is too short. Get your Extendivite today. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
The secret to aging like fine wine is in the vines. Ciroc grape seeds and skins contain high levels of flavonoids and resveratrol. Fermentation breaks these organic compounds down into smaller molecules, penetrating these therapeutic ingredients deeper into the skin, delivering faster and more effective results. Our handmade fermented skincare products are formulated with all natural ingredients and do not contain any phthalates or parabens. Similar products can cost as much as $180. At Natural Earth Medicine, we source our ingredients from local Arizona vineyards and cold process our oils to ensure that our customers receive the highest quality product in its purest form. Learn more at our website and try our fermented skincare products today. Visit naturalearthmedicine.com. That's naturalearthmedicine.com.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.